the final item on our program comes to us from America Online, and actually Tom's going to add to his remarks, I think. Maybe.
A lot of it's been said.
I know. Okay, and it's Director of Accessibility, Tom Lukowski. Tom tells me that AOL is very interested in delivering Web 2.0 applications to its millions of customers. The continuing challenge has to do with delivering those applications while at the same time keeping AOL accessible to people with disabilities in general and to the blind in particular. If you examine AOL's web-based email service, you'll find, I think, an interface that demonstrates an ability to deliver an accessible to the blind service. Yet, we also hear about other services which, for reasons of business, turn out to be not as accessible as we would like. As AOL's accessibility director, Tom Lukowski is responsible for heightening employee awareness of issues that prevent full access to the internet, development of value-add features to the disability community, and the implementation of technological solutions to enhance the accessibility of AOL products and services. Tom also serves as AOL's liaison to the disability community, which includes AOL's Accessibility Advisory Committee, a cross-disability group of advocacy leaders and accessible technology experts who provide advice and strategic counsel on accessibility issues. Despite the apparent challenges still before us, I am confident that Tom Lukowski will do everything he can personally to get the most out of AOL in terms of delivering accessible content and services. He has demonstrated this in our past dealings, and when things didn't go the way we all hoped, he did give the consumer community some advance notice, which I, for one, appreciate. So please join me, and let's give a warm welcome to Tom Lukowski.
Thank you, Curtis, and it's good to be back with you guys. It's been a few years since I've been up here. The issue here is
the wireless network.
I need to get wireless going, so bear with me for 1 second. My battery died during the meeting, so I had to reboot.
But we gave you power.
Yes.
Mr. Scott.
And I am now configuring the wireless access.
Curtis?
Sir. Mike?
It sounds like we're skipping our intermediate speaker.
Yes.
Going to talk about what is
Web 2.0
and ARIA.
Yes.
The topic that Tom, according to the agenda, is going to speak about is how AOL is, or I'm sorry,
Tom's going to touch on some of the AOL, I mean, the Web 2.0 and ARIA stuff so that we don't leave everybody.
I was just going to say, could he explain what it is?
Yeah. Yes, we're not going to skip it. I think we'll make sure that you, yeah.
So let me start while we let the technology catch up to us here. So Web 2.0 is all about personalization. And I think that the issue here is that a lot of what you've heard Loretta say, a lot of what Matt said, is really going to sound fairly similar to what I'm going to say, because we're all grappling with the same challenges within Web 2.0. So Web 2.0 essentially is the next generation of internet services, and it's all targeted at personalization, online collaboration, and the ability to deliver dynamic, rich, software-like applications via the web. So social networking is a concept that's, you know, widely known today through sites like LinkedIn, Facebook. You can pick your site. Bebo is another one that AOL just happened to buy. And they're all based around this whole Web 2.0 concept. where you put out some type of topic and I can comment on it. We can build threads around different things. And beyond that, there are other aspects of Web 2.0, things called widgets and mashups. So I can take a Yahoo tree view that is used for Flickr, and I can marry it to an AOL Instant Messenger buddy list widget, and all of a sudden I can now embed photo type functionality into my instant messaging. That's one example. Or I could take a radio widget and embed it in some other type of interface that's not necessarily of the same company. And we all are trying to strive for that. And so we do that through opening up our instant messaging services and other services. And we allow, through that, the ability for third parties to develop a customized instant message client, or the ability to take their buddy list and embed it on their Facebook page so that they can quickly send an instant message to somebody while they're on Facebook. So that's some of the pillars of what Web 2.0 is. So it's personalization, getting the content where you want it, when you want it, and in whatever flavor you want it. And it's also, from our side of it, the ability to, as Loretta even commented on, iteratively evolve products. So at AOL, we don't have the 12-month or 18-month development cycle anymore. Our cycle can be as little as 30 days, could be as much as 90 days, it could be somewhere in between. With the what we call sprint development, so essentially you start out with a roadmap for the year, and if you're a webmail, you're going to say, I'm going to take care of 8 to 10 features this year. And then the team looks at the features, and they look at the various technologies and different things that they're working with at the time, and they break those 8 to 10 features down into these little sprint type development process. And they essentially, kind of get the first iteration with the first, one or two or three, pillars that are core to the foundation of whatever it is that they're trying to build. And then they, maybe go back in subsequent releases and fix the first three and then add another one or two. And so this is how the internet is moving, and it's this iterative process. And so that's the challenge for the accessibility side, is that to do that and to deliver this rich and dynamic type of atmosphere and functionality, the technologies and the techniques that are used to deliver that, the AJAX, the JavaScript, the various libraries that are used, something called Dojo, which is a toolkit that if you want to develop a Web 2.0 application, you can use. Those types of things need to be accessible before we can actually fully participate in some of the Web 2.0 functionality. And that work is going on through ARIA, which stands for the Accessible Rich Internet Application Markup. ARIA is a group, ARIA is being developed under the focus of a group called the Protocols and Formats Group, which is a group of the World Wide Web Consortium's Web Accessibility Initiative. And I believe Loretta touched on ARIA already, but essentially it allows web developers to incorporate markup into their web pages that browsers then pick up and can map back to platform-specific accessibility APIs. So if you're on a Windows version of Firefox or Internet Explorer, and that browser renders the markup, and I tell you through the markup that this list of HTML really should be treated like you would treat a tree view in a piece of software, then in theory, I should be able to map all the way back through the various platform APIs, and then the assistive or access technologies, the JAWS, WindowEyes, etc., should be able to tell us that it's a tree view and that this current branch is collapsed or expanded, what have you. So where would this be most used? It could be used in an application like a radio application where you have categories. And if you were doing it in software, the category tree would be a tree, and then so you would have, you know, jazz, blues, you know, whatever, pick your flavor of music, would be, each would be a node, each music genre would be a node on that tree, and you would expand it, and then you would get, the next layer deep, which would be the individual stations in that category. Does that make sense? Is that helping, or am I hurting the cause here?
Helping.
Okay. Okay. I wasn't prepared to do this part of it, but...
You've done really good.
I left my notes upstairs. So the truth is, we're cool. And so the problem here is that this work is being done, and it's all very good work, and I do agree with Loretta that progress is being made, but I have to take a little different kind of end-user focus on it and to say that the progress isn't happening as fast as the industry is moving. And it's not through anyone's fault. It's just to work this thing out. I mean, so what kind of markup do you want? Should it be, should it be taken up by the HTML5 working group? Should it be dealt with on our own in our little Web Accessibility Initiative working group? How should this all be handled? And, you know, what do you do about browser support? Well, Firefox does it. Well, okay, Firefox is supporting it, and it's largely driven by companies like IBM, Aaron Buttenthal, the former AOL guy, doing a lot of the work, the great work on Firefox to make it ARIA-enabled. Those things are happening. And then, you know, now we need IE to come along, Internet Explorer, and, you know, we've gotten some nice announcements out of Microsoft over the past 3 or 4 months that give us promise in the web development community that Internet Explorer 8 is going to support ARIA. And now you got to work on the third element, which is the AT. And Curtis and I have had plenty of conversations about access technologies and the great work that they do. But again, the limited resources, bandwidth, whatever you want to call it. And so here is the problem. The paradigm shift is happening. And, you know, we're kind of like on this little, you know, a piece of, you know, looking out for avalanche warnings as we, you know, move through a ski area or something like that. We don't want to take the wrong step because we don't want to, you know, get too far down the road with the development of an application only to find out that, whoops, the markup's going to change and, well, maybe the AT support isn't quite the way we thought it was at the time of development, etc. So we find ourselves yet again in this gap. So the paradigm shift for the end user, as Loretta began to explain, is that, you know, we're all geared toward, you know, you find a link. I don't know if we have any, you know, speakers here.
But, yeah, we do. Hang on.
You know, let's find a jack here. I came in here and destroyed it all.
Here it is. Right there. Plug that puppy right into your thing. You may have to jack the volume down a little bit.
Probably should do that before I plug it in.
It'll do that on the way in, but...
Okay.
Yeah, that's a little...
Why don't we slow that down a little bit, because it's, you know, it's a little fuzzy right here.
I did.
AOL keeps us working too many long hours at night, so there's too much coffee going on over here. Okay, so we're used to this paradigm where, you know, you either tab through a page or you bring up a links list, you know, and you click something on The Bachelorette if you wanted to find out about what that show is all about. With Web 2.0, that doesn't have to happen because I can embed things in the page that I'm on. So instead of having it be a link, now it might be some sort of a menu item where I can, you know, like what would a software menu would look like, and if I selected The Bachelorette, some content on the right side of the screen would update, and the fact that the document object model didn't refresh or what have you, which is the way the AT keys into, you know, what's happening on the web, you know, they don't see a whole page refresh, so they don't announce anything. And so all of a sudden, you're like, well, I know I selected The Bachelorette, but I don't see any content about The Bachelorette. It's there, we just don't know. And so that's the type of activity that we're starting to see in all aspects of the web. It's media players, it's webmail applications, it's all sorts of different applications, all different controls. Now, underneath the hood to a browser, a lot of it looks like, you know, lists of HTML list items in HTML, and visually they use what they call cascading style sheets, CSS, to, you know, make it look like a menu bar or a slider control or something else. And so what ARIA is going to allow is to finally tie the programmatic to the visual. So what it looks like visually, a web developer will be able to make it do the same thing programmatically. Hopefully that is the summation. Loretta or anybody else, you have anything you want to add to that?
Sounded pretty good. Just going back to prototypical examples of Web 2 activity are things like Wikipedia.
Right.
Blogs.
Yep.
Very much the sense that everybody has something to contribute.
Yep. Wikis. Wikipedia is a great example. You know, blogs are a great example. You know, that interactive, collaborative experience. And then we've been able to build on top of that to make it the application experience. So if you're developing an enterprise financial system, it's easier and more cost-effective for you to deliver it via the web, and it's easier for the company who bought that financial application to take it in via the web because, you know, every desktop has a web browser on it, so you don't have to deploy, you know, actual applications. And then, you know, if you're like AOL and you change every 3 months from one thing to the next, you can update it faster. And you can deploy it faster to your employees. And so beyond the collaborative kind of social interaction that Web 2.0 is affording us, it also provides that cost-effective, more efficient, easier to update, all through that, you know, process, that iterative process that we talked about.
Tom, if I could ask a question, or ask you to touch on something that I find challenging, put it that way. I travel a good bit, and I went to a travel site, and I started entering the city I wanted to go to, and it had completed all of the stuff by the time, I think I was typing in Columbus, and it had all of the details filled in when I went back into MSAA mode. Lo and behold, it had all kinds of stuff filled in on the page right there, and I had no clue this was going on. So it's very interesting. And somewhat disconcerting that all this stuff is happening and you don't hear the clicking or you haven't done anything to change the page.
Absolutely. And I've gone to an airline site most recently to book a reservation, and you know how you can type in the 3-digit airport code or a city? Well, it opened up this kind of a drawer type of a thing. So visually you could see it, but it didn't refresh. So the screen reader didn't see it. That's the whole gap that we're trying to close. And so work like ARIA is ongoing. And, you know, as has been mentioned already, you know, the AT vendors are working through it. You know, we're reaching out to folks like, you know, the NFB and Curtis and AFB and Brad. And we've, you know, kind of through the various channels, trying to heighten the awareness, but the other piece is of this, and it's starting to now bridge back to what AOL is doing in this space, is so you have all these widgets, right? Your tree views and your slider controls and your menu bars and your, you know, pick whatever control you want. Well, in the software world, you know, every operating system has their specific way of dealing with that, right? So the Alt key gets you to the menu bar. Well, if we are making the argument that within Web 2.0, what we're delivering to you, the interfaces that we're delivering to you are actually web applications, notice web applications, so, you know, software applications, web applications, what the heck do we want to do with the keyboard access to this? So how do I expand and collapse a tree view, for example? Because the browser controls, the way it's configured today with the AT, I move across characters with using the arrow keys, right? I'm moving across characters. So how do I get the AT to know that the tree view has focus, and then how do I get the browser out of the way or the AT out of the way so that I can actually have access to the arrow keys? So one of the things that is a derivative of the ARIA work is what we call the DHTML Style Guide Group. And AOL is spearheading this industry effort called the DHTML Style Guide Group. It's at dev.aol.com/, now I'm gonna get in trouble. Let me do this, let me email it to Curtis and he'll get it, but I think it's /access/ DHTML _style_guide.
But yeah, I'll get you better.
Right through on it. So in that, you'd be able to see it, it's publicly available, all the different widgets that we're looking at. And so what do you do with a tab panel? You know, we know how to do that in the operating system. How do we handle a tree view? And what we found, and I had some poor soul on my team go through the various browsers and the various windows and other applications and map out what keyboard commands were still available. It no longer works for me anymore. No. It was a tedious project, but he did it, and his name is Chris Blauk, and he's an engineer on my team. And some other folks, Don Evans, helped him with it as well on my team. And what they came up with is the fact that as part of what we need to do with this style guide is we might need to add some modifier keys. So the Control Alt space is relatively empty unless you've set up keyboard shortcuts to launch applications. You know, Control Alt I to launch or you know whatever you might have. But when in the browser space, at least on the Windows side, we're looking into that space, and you'll see that in a minute with a demo that I'm going to do for our webmail application. And so the purpose of the meeting and the folks who have been participating most aggressively would be IBM, AOL, you know, Raman from Google jumps in on the email list every once in a while, Oracle. Trying to think of the other companies. SAP has participated from time to time as well. And John Gunderson over at the University of Illinois, all kind of working through the various permutations of this style guide, tracking the different widgets that we are all seeing appear on the web every day, and trying to map keyboard access to that. So what are we going to do with that style guide? It would be linked to from the ARIA specification, which is about to be released at some point here in 2008, as a set of recommended best practices for keyboards. So the thing is, with Web 2.0, you know, the wild, wild web, you can essentially create, you know, developers can create their own keyboard shortcuts, you know, whatever they want them to be for their application. And so what we're trying to do is see if we can't get at least some standard best practice type documentation out there so we maybe have some chance of getting some of the larger companies to maybe adopt this so that you know, right and left arrow in combination with some other keys actually does what we think it should do with you know, a tree view, et cetera. And so what does that mean? It means that we need cooperation from the access technology vendors, we need browser support, and we need web development support. So I think while it's very exciting and Web 2.0 holds a lot of promise, I think, for many different opportunities, I think we are right now at the midst of this transition phase, and we're trying to build the new house. So we have the foundation and the frame and maybe part of the first floor built. But you know, there isn't a roof on there yet, and some other pieces are missing, and we're all trying to, as quickly as possible, work toward those solutions, but it's going to take a little while. But as Loretta and others have mentioned, we need your input, so I need you to go to that style guide, I need you to look at those keyboard mappings that we're recommending for various widgets and point out what might work for you, what you would like to see done differently, etc. So that's one area that AOL is very active in, is in this you know, DHTML style guide group. We maintain the site and we handle the documentation, and once it's complete, at least the first draft, we're going to hand it off to, you know, either the W3C or some other public place. Maybe it's a good thing for the NFB site that Ann Taylor was mentioning earlier. Maybe there should be a link from there. So all of that happens, and you know, we're in the future with this Web 2.0 world. But my job, the metrics that I'm based on is, you know, did I keep the users happy today? And you know, I definitely hear when we don't, which is good. We want to hear that. And now we're starting to hear when we do some good things as well, which is equally, and if not more, gratifying. Curtis sent us some nice comments on the webmail project that we just completed, and it's gone all the way up to our CEO. So comments both ways do help those of us on the inside, you know, build that momentum and let the other folks know that there is a market out here and that there is an audience. So I kind of view where we are today is in the Web 1.5 world. You know, Web 1.0 being the static web, you know, you find a link, you action the link, and a new page loads. Web 2.0 being this kind of wild, wild web, dynamic, rich, crazy JavaScript, Ajax, et cetera stuff that, you know, we kind of know where we want to go with it. And the foundation, and as I said, you know, the first floor of the house is there, but we need a little bit more work before we can move in. Obviously, we need a roof. And so where are we within the Web 1.5 world? So today, can we keyboard enable a web application? Yes, we can. And like Google has their library, we have our library. It's called Access, AXS. I swear, we do talk and we have dinner together at these conferences. But we're, you know, I mean, I think that if the CEOs of both companies, and we'll throw in Yahoo because they've been with us, and Microsoft knew how like closely we mirror, they might well just, you know, get rid of us all and have one, you know, big conglomerate handle access for all four of these companies.
Isn't there a secret room with the Bill and Eric and all of them anyway?
No, I'm sure there is. I haven't been privy to that secret room, but I'm sure there's. You know, I'm sure they talk amongst themselves. But truth be told, within the accessibility area, we do talk amongst ourselves and grapple. We've grappled with CAPTCHA in the past. We are certainly grappling with Web 2.0 and try to share what we can without telling everybody else what we're launching, and you know, and we let the folks who sell the ads compete, and you know, I'm sure they got knives in each other's backs, but beyond that, you know, we're trying to do the right thing here. So yes, we have Access, and it's available again at the dev.aol.com site, and that's open source, and so any company or anybody who wants to keyboard an application can go and download this library. Chris Blauk on my team developed it, and he has provided the right documentation. So what does Access do? Access provides the hooks so that web developers can define their own keyboard access. It has focus moving techniques. Part of the issue with this dynamic web is, you know, again, the dynamic refreshing of a page. Well, if you apply some techniques that programmatically move focus, and you do it with some HTML markup, you can actually trick JAWS and other screen readers and other products into automatically announcing that focus has moved, which is, you know, half the battle with this dynamic application, right? You click something, you want to land somewhere. So the Access library deals with that. It's going to have some other hooks that will allow embedded web-based media players to become more accessible. We'll use it on ours, but certainly you could use it for other types of, you know, embedded media player objects, and more to come on Access. So that's one area that we're working toward. So take Access and combine it with already known web accessibility techniques, and you can get a fairly accessible webmail application. So I'm going to do a quick demo.
Here we go. Sorry for the body here.
Hot search is golden. Then.
All right.
Control L, open sidebar. Type the internet address of the document or folder and internet extension.
All right, here we go.
Mail, period. Add, period. Cop, enter.
So I went to mail.aol.com.
Free email address for mail.
Again, free email address.
Free.
We are free now. We're an advertising supported model, not a subscription-based service, though we still offer $9.95 plans.
Edit, search the web, search button, screen name or email, colon, edit, enter, forms, colon.
So I'm going to enter my screen name. Well, what am I going to use here? Oh, I don't want to put my 300,000 emails out in the public, so we'll...
Census or one, tag, enter AOL, password, edit.
We'll use Curtis's account that I hacked into earlier. No. all right.
Star, enter, forms, logo, screen name, service, buildings, link my AOL, link my AOL, my home page, visited, link, graphic, mail, logo, hi, Sun Tester 1, link, AOL.
So, hi, see Sun Tester 1. Maybe Curtis did use this.
I did.
Some usability testing. All right. So what do we have here? Like Google, again, just to kind of point out some similarities. When you first go and you create an email account, then you get to a page, and on our page, we have the standard version, and we have a basic version, and we have the accessible version, which is essentially the basic version, but somehow a developer decided to put the accessible link on there, and I didn't argue to take it off. So I have bigger fish to fry, and so we'll leave that one there. But it is essentially the same one. The basic version has our keyboard access, etc. So right now, since I just locked in with a screen name, my profile is already set to launch in the accessible version. So if I go to the top of the page,
AOL,
and I arrow down,
same page link, keyboard shortcuts, help toggle.
Keyboard shortcuts, help toggle. Now we're iterating on this, and this is where we would like some user feedback. But if I click this,
enter AOL, keyboard shortcuts, help toggle, same page link.
Now I've opened it.
When summary code this table describes the shortcut keys implemented on this page. When
and I can find all the keyboard shortcuts that are now on this page.
Table with two columns and five rows.
And now we're going to actually perhaps look at moving this into a persistent window that you can kind of toggle between. And because with Web 2.0, you can make page specific keyboard commands. And now I can navigate this table.
Key combinations of the actions they invoke. Key combination action. Control plus Alt plus A. Action contacts.
And so forth. So and there's keyboard toggles like Control Alt H to hide the table. So now if I want to go to my inbox, since I've already reviewed this list and I've become a familiar user, I hit Alt Control M.
Alt Control M.
And
AOL mail hash inbox list of folders heading level one.
And so what does this do? I don't have to hunt around for links. I don't have to use header tags. Although all of that stuff is there. If I want to use it, I can hit the letter H.
Inbox heading level one.
But if I know the keyboard commands, if this is an application that I'm going to use often, then that learning curve will have occurred, and I can move more quickly from one screen to the other. So similar as you get used to software applications, you get used to it. And Curtis and I were talking a few weeks ago about this, and he was saying that he uses the screen reader commands here because he's not as using this as much as I am, obviously, on a daily basis, but yet, the keyboard shortcuts are there. So I think where we are in the Web 1.5 world is blending kind of the Web 1.0, known accessibility techniques with the beginnings of what we're going to do with Web 2.0, which is this keyboard enablement. So now I know that I can navigate by checkboxes on this. I can tab from checkbox to checkbox for messages.
Tab, select all messages on this page. Checkbox not checked. Tab, from link. Tab, subject link.
And I can navigate this table, or I can just hit the letter X, which is a quick navigation key.
A new bill pay message from AOL, note from info at message.add.com, subject, colon, quote, get multimedia search results with AOL, left fair, far right fair, search, quote, send, colon, R13 on.
And I can get all of the information that I need. And
message,
so,
select all messages on this page. Checkbox not checked.
Or I could use table navigation.
Checkbox not checked. A new message from Jack V. Fessenhattle.com.
And it says, checkbox not checked. I hit check.
Space. A new message from Jack V.
Fessenhattle. And it's going to be checked. Now I know there's a keyboard command to read it. Control Alt R.
Alt Control R. AOL mail hash message view. Quick.
Now I'm in my message view. And I can navigate by headers.
Like message new heading level one.
And I can read the message. If I want to reply, I can do Control Alt R here.
Alt Control R.
So you can see that we're, again, taking this kind of view of this Web 1.5 world where we're transitioning and we're kind of starting to bring in some of these techniques, with the standard version. And once ARIA gets further baked and supported, we'll be able to do this more elegantly than we can today, as my engineers like to call it hackery. A lot of hackery going on here to make it work the way we would expect. But the real takeaway with where we need to go with this Web 1.5, Web 2.0 world is we need to align our software and web type interactions. So when I look at the requirements for a webmail application, I first look at what are some of the more popular software clients doing. And I see that Control R is commonly used for reply. So why wouldn't I want Control R to work in my web application? I do, but Control R might not be available to me because maybe a browser uses it and what have you. So I'm gonna have to add another modifier key to it. So we've walked away with Control Alt R. So it may not be a perfect one-off every time we turn around, but the goal that we're striving for at AOL is to kind of more closely align our web application usability with what some of the more common software expectations are.
Just down here?
Sure.
Yo.
I would like to request, and maybe because I'm not familiar with it, but a tab ring is very important to a screen magnification user, and screen magnification users do use keystrokes despite the belief of others. If you're going to shift focus with some of these keys, I would love usability studies, because for a high magnification user, if you're going to jump focus around, that could be very disconcerting. You could be going from one side of the page and give somebody whiplash if you're going to have some of these features, so if there's a logical set to it, because it sounds very nebulous that I could go just about anywhere on the page, and I think that's great, but logic sets may need to apply, because if I'm going to go from a message to the inbox, I don't want one to be on one side of the page and not on the other.
Point well taken, and we have and will continue to do usability studies, and we have tested this with like Zoom Text users and others.
Well, that's another question, because half your control cards that you've said so far are Zoom Text keys, like Control Alt I are three keys that ZT uses, and so is Control Alt R and a couple others. So I'm thinking in the back of my mind, I need to tell AI squared, you know, there needs to be like an ARIA set that you could just turn all the ZT Hot keys off for a second.
Right. Exactly.
Because there's a basic pass-through, but you're talking about multiple calls on what you're doing.
Right, and so then the thing that we grapple with is the exact point that you raised. You know, so if I look at software, or if I look at web, you know, what's my role as the main application developer versus what's the role of the browser and, bubbling it back further, the AT? And so, in this case, we decided that they'd take the bull by the horns, because we're still all trying to sort that out for Web 2.0, but it's conceivable that in the ARIA world, you know, all of us are going to sit down and play nice at the table, and somebody's going to be there with a ruler if we don't, and I'm sure, and we're gonna figure out who has control of the keyboard, because in Web 2.0, you know, all parties today want and can have access to the keyboard. And so to your point exactly, we got to figure out the right paradigm for Web 2.0. We're not saying necessarily that this webmail product has it completely right. It's a stake in the ground. It's a place to start to do the usability testing and get it out there and get an accessible, you know, dynamic application out there. But we do need to figure that out. And that's all part of this style guide. And that's what we grapple with, too. And that's why we need AT vendors to participate at this level with us on the style guide.
Right, okay. I don't think of a universal medium. I think the AT vendors are the pliable way. You know, like I stated earlier, maybe ZT just turns its hotkeys off, and then you default to ARIA, and that's much easier than remapping 300 hotkeys or something crazy like that, if it works for all the speech vendors. So,
right.
Just a thought.
No, that's a good thought. Other Hodges? Questions?
Hodges.
Yeah, I would encourage those of us who haven't yet done so to spend some time with System Access in its free version or its purchased version. Browsing without a buffer, in my experience, is a very different experience than using the traditional MSAA buffering method. Some people very much disagree with me. They find very little or no difference in those two. And I think that as we will want to advise the AT companies, and as we will want to advise the Googles, AOLs of the world, Yahoos of the world, we need to get ourselves in the mindset of working without the buffers. We can talk intelligently about it. And I think using System Access or SA2Go is a way for us to get some experience with that. So I would encourage everybody to try it.
My belief is that we're in for a paradigm shift in interaction with web pages within the next 2 years. I think that it's happening. It will be forced on us by Web 2.0 and efforts to make it accessible, which, of course, plays havoc with trainers of blind people. You guys in the training group tonight better talk about this. you know, the whole idea, for example, you could do an application with forms mode turned on. You know, so it's coming, and I think we're due for, this is the next ripple. Well, maybe it's a wave, I guess, but, you know, every so often, every so many years, you get a big change that's happening. And I think Web 2.0 and ARIA working together are going to cause us to change the whole way we interact with screen readers, with the web, with, you know, applications on the computer. And so the name of the game is change and cooperation, I'm afraid. And somehow or other, we got to get all the other people to work. We got to get these guys to work together.
Follow-up question, if I might.
Hodges.
Tom or Loretta, is there an ARIA flag that a screen reader could behave in a certain way in the presence of ARIA and not behave in that way in the absence of ARIA?
Not to my knowledge.
Actually,
is there? Now that they add one?
There's an application role that could be applied, and if the screen reader, in fact, recognize that application role as meaning everything below this, in fact, is ARIA. So it doesn't pay, then in fact, it could.
It's a protocol that could be developed, in other words, right? Okay.
And then to inform us that, okay, we are operating in a non-buffered strategy or okay, that's, thank you.
Any other, you weren't done
yet,
were you?
JAWS 9.0 will cooperate with Web 2.0?
Yes, it will with Firefox to a certain degree, yes. Well, but it's no fault of anyone's, and you know, if Eric or anybody else, I mean, you know, feel free to jump in. But from my perspective, again, this stuff is all evolving.
Yeah.
It's in flux. It's like the house is being built, and you know, anytime that I've been around a house that's being built, you go there one day, and you know, the living room floor is in, and then you go the next day, and all of a sudden, all the sheetrock is in on the first floor, and that's really the stage that we're at. But I think why it's important to kind of get all of our hands around this is that I do agree with Curtis. I think we are in for some very dramatic changes, and I think though the other piece is there's at times a want to kind of resist the change, or the vendors not to want to make change happen. But I think in this particular case, you got to embrace it because that's where the technology is going. We might actually find easier ways of doing things over time. It doesn't appear that way right now.
Who's back there?
Will it happen in a year or two? Or?
It'll happen gradually, and we won't see it coming.
I think you're already starting to see it happen. You know, but I think, you know, once we get to, so the other piece that I grapple with, and you know, I'd love your help with it as well, is that to me, and therefore AOL, it's not good enough for me to say that it works in Firefox. I have to have the market share. I have to have the right browser configuration matrix, or I can't get fully behind
Safari.
You know, or I can't get fully. I can't tell you. I can't come to the NFB and say, hey, my webmail is accessible. Just go tell people to go download Firefox 3 and you know, whatever. And so that's what kind of keeps us up at night is, you know, we got to stay ahead, we got to embrace it, we got to prototype, we got to do all this work, but I'm in the business of delivering, you know, products that are being released in 2008, so I'm kind of stuck in these two worlds, one foot in the Web 2.0 world, one foot on this Web 1.5 train, it's confusing, but I think, so it's already starting to evolve, and you're just going to see it kind of, you know, happen over a period of time. It's hard to put a timeline on it because it's a lot of factors. AT needs to do more. Browsers need to do more. Web developers need to become more consistent and familiar with the ARIA specification before we see, I think, true widespread adoption.
Matt? I just like to add that in the time that I've been involved in accessibility, I haven't seen anything move as quickly as iAccessible 2 and ARIA.
Yeah.
As far as adoption, because every single part of the process was broken with respect to AJAX. The event that fires, that changes the content, was broken. So it was a matter of everyone being aware that everything had to change, and there wasn't really a lot of negotiation and let's think about it. It was really across the industry, people said let's do it, and the results are happening. And while it can be frustrating to be to be watching all of this, all of these sites implementing stuff that's broken, with AT, the wheels are turning a lot faster than they have been, and I agree with everyone up here that's saying that it's going to be a dramatic change in the next couple of years, and maybe another one in another year or two after that.
So if I can just quickly, because I know I'm out of time here as well, AOL accessibility at AOL.com is the way that you reach us.
Try that again. It's
AOL accessibility.
Okay.
At AOL.com, and I would appreciate mail into that, other than the stuff that gets forwarded to me about people wanting to change their passwords or something like that. I'd like to get actual content. That's what the box was set up for. We will have a site. We're working on a new documentation site. It'll be at accessibility.aol.com. This is the danger of announcing stuff that hasn't yet been released. But by the next couple of months here, and I'll give Curtis a heads up, where you'll be able to find all of the various documentation and ability to provide comment. And third and final, unless there's Q&A, tonight there's a reception that AFB is handling that will also be doing a more detailed interaction with other products that AOL has developed, like our new Instant Messenger product, standalone AIM 6, very usable with JAWS, and has some keys that some nice scripting has gone into it as well. And our new desktop software, which is our next generation software that is built and completely from the ground up and offers a lot more robust support than we've had in our retrofit software. So those are the last pieces.
What room, Mr. Hodges?
The Peacock Terrace. And we have wine and cheese to share with our friends.
I figured you selected the menu.
Six,
I thought
you did.
As long as I get to have the wine.
6 to 8, it's in the near the Gently Ballroom, the tower lobby area.
What is this now?
Read your agenda. It's in the agenda. It's the AF. What is it officially called? It's right at 6 to 8. The AFB wine and taking aim at web accessibility. Yeah, very clever title. I thought you had something to do with that too. Okay. Any other questions for Tom? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's give a hand for Tom. He did a great job as our last presenter. I always feel guilty picking somebody to be the last presenter. I don't do it because I'm trying to insult them. I just don't have a choice. So thank you very much for coming, all of you.